Turuntuset tulee Joonael.
Today we have the main topic about destination branding. And to introduce the topic, I would like to say that the nation branding is in general a very hot topic here in Estonia now, because we are doing currently the third repositioning for our brand Estonia. And when at the beginning the brand was mostly for the tourism sector and focused on welcoming all the tourists to Estonia, then the second focus was more targeted to Estonians, just by focusing on the concept that we love Estonia. And the third one is happening right now. There is a lot of crowdsourcing of ideas, researches, designs, and we are just in the middle of the process. It's very different compared to what it was previously. And I think that most people in the tourism sector or anyone who is connected to Estonian branding is very excited about what the results are going to be. So this is the situation in Estonia currently. You, Lars Ola, have been working together with different nations and helping branding different destinations. What has been the coolest or the most exciting experience for you about the nation or destination branding?
Well, we've been involved in both countries and cities. So we've had some experience over the last number of years, I like the idea that you mentioned the third part of Estonia. We've been working with Estonia as of last year, actually, in Sweden. So that has been one of the interesting campaigns we have been involved in to promote gourmet food, to promote golf and spa. But I like the idea that you have, because it creates an engagement among people, among Estonians, and that's very essential. But you were asking me about the coolest, most exciting destination. I have to say,
despite right now, Estonia, I understand that you would prefer Estonia, but is there anything else in the row?
Actually, Estonia is on top three for me.
Wow.
It created quite a buzz in Sweden, and it was very well thought out. And I was a bit impressed of the way things were done. I was also impressed by Epic Estonia, which was ran earlier last year and created an enormous amount of interest here in Sweden. So I think that was a very good campaign. So I think something is going on. So I would say top three, Estonia. We do have two others that I think is interesting to talk about. And the first would be New York City.
Wow, I believe that.
Well, and you might ask, why do you need to promote New York City? Because it's pretty well known, right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, but the fact is that New York City has a very interesting marketing company for New York City. It's called New York City and Company, which consists of 2,000 companies owning this marketing company, and they promote New York City all over the world, and they have a great strategy. And great PR activity plan for that. And they need it, because tourism is one of the most important incomes for New York City. And for 6 years, they have actually had a record high visit number. And last year they had about 58 million visitors. It's quite a lot.
It is.
Yeah. And that was, 1.8 million better than compared to last year or the earlier year, 2014. So that's an interesting and cool destination, but it's also a very interesting marketing campaign.
I just want to ask, can you explain me, how do the 2,000 tourism companies agree on the marketing? I would understand that if it was Estonia, then everyone of the would have their own marketing plan. But what do they do in order to agree?
Well, they do have a council. This New York City and company consists of the City Council of New York City and over 2,000 companies in the destination and tourism sector. That could be hotels, car rentals, event, entertainment companies, and consumer companies as well. And they do have a company. This is a company that is running this. So they have like a board, and then they have strict rules, and then they have very strict objectives to achieve. So it's like running a company. That's why they can do it, I think. And they do very well.
What target markets do they have? I would assume that if you talk about New York, it seems that everyone is the target, everyone is welcoming to New York. But how targeted is their marketing, really?
Oh, I think they are know very well where they want to reach. And of course, Asia is on top of this list. But Europe is like second or third. So Europe has been a priority market, and Europe is large. It's UK, it's Germany, it's France, of course, Italy. But now the Nordic markets has become very of interest, because we have in the Nordic part, we have 25 million people. And you know, adding the Baltic as well, there are even 25 more or something.
No, not so much. No. We are maybe altogether, I don't know, up to 10 more. Okay. Thanks to Lithuanians, they are big.
Yeah, right. Anyway, this is important markets, and so they are putting a lot of effort. But Asia and Europe are two very important markets.
When you tell that they have very well thought through strategy, what is the strategy? One of the things is that they really cooperate together, but what is the strategy towards the outside world?
Well, they have an idea and a strategy that circles around the five boroughs in New York City, and not only Manhattan, which is probably what we all are familiar with. You go to Manhattan, you see New York, but that's not the case. They have other boroughs, and they communicate quite a lot around those boroughs. It could be new events, new museums, new free of charge attractions. It could be new restaurants. They create around the existing and new events in each borough, which promotes the borough like it's a new place that you need to visit. And this is consistently what they do. So that I would say that that's a first strategy. The second is the mix of traditional media relations and press trips and social media engagement, that they really emphasize all those channels. And they have a lot of activities, of course. And they have a lot of, as well, I would say they are sales-oriented. Americans are sales-oriented by definition, but they are really good at it. So they create insider guides, they create campaigns where you can go free, or you can go 2-for-1, or you can have, it's a month of restaurant weeks or museum weeks or theater weeks. So they are very proactive with everything. But the bottom line is that they want to promote the boroughs, more boroughs than just Manhattan.
Very interesting. How intensive is the campaign calendar? Is it one campaign per week, one campaign per month, one campaign per year? What kind of intensity are they targeting?
Oh, well, it keeps us busy.
Okay. All day long?
all day long, all week long, all month long. Yeah, it's a lot. It's you know, we get material every week. They this is going on all the time, so it's not one campaign. It's a new campaign every month at least, and then there are press releases about new events or new attractions several times a month. But they do run one or two campaigns each month at least. So it's going on all the time, all the time. And that's why they're very successful, because it's a continuity that really counts.
And you told that they have done it for 6 years now.
No, I think it's older than that. It's just that they have increased the visitors in New York for the sixth year in a row. So they've had a record high for the sixth years in a row. So this is older than that, but I actually don't know when it was first established. But it was more than 6 years. It was probably 10, 15 years ago.
Absolutely. What are the tips and tricks, or what do they do in order to keep the image of New York as cool as it is?
Well, I think they, I would say they have a common vision, and they really look for things that are right there in front of you. It's nothing made up. It's right there, but they do create events out of everything. And they have a common vision, and they have a very close cooperation between travel trade and private business trade. And this is necessary for building the nation brand or destination brand. And it's definitely necessary for marketing a destination. So I think that's one of the things. And they're proud. They're proud of their destination too.
Can you give me one concrete example? For instance, something what you are lately working on about the exciting events, what is just near them, what they decided to make as big as possible.
Well, they have a great restaurant week, and I know that Estonia has done the same thing. Then they have they created a long list of all the restaurants in a borough, and they offer campaign prices. It's a 25% off. It's a go 2-for-1, and they communicate this all over the world. It could also be new events, new theaters in a borough. So they do promotion around each borough, which makes a good focus on what is of interest, things you don't know. And I think they fill this with new activities and new restaurants, new angles, news angles, every month. So it's really quite a lot that is going on.
Who does the creative part? Who comes up with the ideas? As I understand, you are the one who get the materials and need to promote it. But but how do the ideas get born?
Well, they get born at New York City and Company, which is a large organization, and they have quite a good resource of money as well. So they created there, they create the strategies, they create the visuals, ideas and everything. And then they communicate this through all the organizations they run throughout the world. So we are just one little part of this here in Sweden.
Absolutely. What do they expect from the participants, let's say, of the 2,000 companies who belong to the organization or whom the organization belongs to? How do they need to work together? Are there any rules? Are there any suggestions, any principles?
Well, I guess the most important one is financing. So they do contribute to the financing of this organization. I think that is the crucial point. but also they are used for giving away tickets, giving away hotel nights, transportations, theater entrances, and so on. So they do contribute practically. And I'm sure they also contribute with ideas, but that's what New York City and Company is all about, ideas and marketing.
Absolutely. That's why they are so successful.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
What do you think, if you look now from Estonia, you know us, you know we are, let's say, a bit smaller than New York. We have less people, less resources, and we have much shorter history about marketing as well. What would you think? What would you suggest us to learn from New York City marketing?
Well, I think it's three things actually. It could be many, but a crucial point is to identify and build your own national brand on the national values, on your strengths, on your typical lifestyle features, to dig where you stand. You know, you have a beautiful country. You have a lot of things that is not known. So that's where I would start. Second thing is storytelling. This is how you communicate what is good with the country. Why you are you, why you are good at food, how that came up. The storytelling brings a strengthened preference for the country, and it also brings a long-term national image. So that would be the second one. The third one goes to creating a corporation, unifying all the messages and brand guidelines so that you have native people become ambassadors. You have other institutions and other business organizations speaking the same language. I think these are three elements of national branding and to bring that success. And I think that's what New York and other countries has done.
Very good. I think that I do hope, by the way, that that by the end of our crowdsourcing process, we have some clearer understanding about where to focus. Because before that, everyone had their own story, but now mm-hmm. there is something we already see in the air. What could be the line? So.
Yeah, I was in, just need to tell you a story because when we started working for Estonia last August, we decided to come over to experience the gourmet food that we had not heard about before.
Okay, and did you?
Yes, we did. We gained about 10 pounds during 2 days. So we had a good time, I promise you. It was really good food, and it was natural food, it was local food, and it was out in the country, in places, in restaurants that you could never think of. It was like an abandoned house, but inside it was marvelous, and the food was just excellent. And what we saw was another Estonia that we don't get to see just going to Tallinn, which has been probably the main thing for us Swedes. So I would definitely ask Swedes to see more of Estonia because it's a lovely country.
Absolutely. We are welcoming them and trying to make them believe that it's the food is something good here.
It is.
Together with our beautiful nature. But yeah, the nature is not so much different compared to Sweden. So let's stick on food then.
No problem.
But very good. I think the New York example was very, very exciting, and really a lot of things to learn from the really best of the world. But tell me, have you had the kind of challenging tasks as well? Because I think that marketing New York isn't very, how to say, very difficult, maybe not, maybe very challenging. If you have a lot of good ideas pouring in, a lot of good content, everything happens as it was planned. So it's kind of goes as it should, but anything that is challenging or more demanding.
Yes, I can see where you're going at this, but I would actually like to say that promoting New York is challenging, even if you don't think it is, because it's very well known. And that's the challenging thing.
Okay.
How do you promote a place which is already very well known? We thought that was a challenge because people were not, people already knew it. But we came to the conclusion that this borough angle and the activities actually created something new because it was something you didn't know. But otherwise, it was a bit of a challenge. We did have another real challenge, I would say. That was
not promoting Russia.
No,
not yet.
Not yet. I'm hesitant. Let's say I'm hesitant. But Egypt.
Okay.
Egypt. That was a few years ago, 2-3 years ago. And that used to be Sweden's and the Nordics' most popular tourism destination. Very interesting historically. Always sun. Very particular. Very nice to dive and so on. But a couple of years ago, and even before the Russian airline was bombed down in Sinai, this country was hurt by terrorism. And the tourism was really hard struck. And it created a desperate need, economical desperate need to expand the tourism again. So we actually got an assignment together with three other PR agencies to work together and to help them increase tourism and explain at this very insecure time to explain that it was still possible for tourists to travel safe, except in certain areas. That was a challenge to do because we didn't know exactly. We had to rely on the authorities about this, but it seemed fair and it seemed accurate at the time. And we did succeed, although it's felt like a mission impossible from the start. We did succeed to get a lot of publicity and to increase the tourism and the trade interest, more tour operators to work on Egypt during the time.
What was the key? What helped you?
Well, I think it was an openness to this safety security issue that although the Egyptians didn't want to talk about it too much, we told them that we need to talk about safety, otherwise you won't get any tourists. So we declared where it was safe to go and where the authorities made it safe to go. And we also organized press trips, both individual and one group trip. And we had journalists interview the tourism attaché about the strategy to recover tourists. We tried to find angles that were up to date at the time. So I think that was our strategy to succeed with this.
How long did it take to recover some of the trust towards the country after some kind of terrorist attack?
Yeah. Well, we worked hardly a year on this, and then they had seen that the tourism was somehow recovered. The publicity was done. We worked only from spring to end of the year, actually. And then they stopped everything. And then you had some problems internally in Egypt, and that's the challenge because you have no control over the authorities or how things are going. It's not like a normal New York City or Estonia country.
Absolutely, but did Egypt has been very much dependent on tourism for years and years, for the same reasons you told, that it's always sun, it's a remarkable history, and all these things. My question is, how much do the participants on the tourism sector cooperate in Egypt? When you told that in New York City they have their own company managing it, the tourism sector is belonging to the company or owning it, how is it in Egypt? Is it only the governmental responsibility to bring in more tourists, or is something happens kind of on the ground as well?
Well, to be honest, I'm not an expert on that, but according to how we worked, we only worked with the tourism agency in Sweden, and they were politically assigned, and they were working through the authorities in Egypt. And I would imagine from that experience, it's a very governmental run tourism. They do have cooperation individually with companies on the ground locally, but I doubt that they have cooperation like New York City and Company or the Swedish Visit Sweden or something like that. That I doubt very much, actually, because it feels like a very political and authoritative campaign.
I understand. What can we learn from the case of Egypt?
Yeah. Communication and honesty is of course very essential. Also clear messaging, and those are the two main things. And of course, to get the media to write those stories, that honesty and continuity and clear messages, I would say, is always a very crucial strategy to have.
How much does it help that the situation when a country has been hurt by a terrorist attack? How much do you feel from the media side that they are somehow more interested in helping and writing and promoting in order to just maybe help, not looking so much the journalistic criteria, is it newsworthy or is it actual or whatever the criteria there are?
Well, we have different type of journalism, as you know.
Okay.
There are news journalists who always look for news angles, political angles and sensational stories. And then you have the travel journalists who act differently because they are most often on the tourism side. So when it comes to writing stories about tourism, about attractions in countries, I think they are more or less positive to what is going on, and also helpful, as you express it. They can be helpful. So on the tourism journalist side, I think we are basically on the same side. So it's not that anyone wants to create a negative story about a country, but they're rather alerting people to go to a country who has all those security problems. I mean, we don't want people to get hurt. And it's unsafe to go to certain places, and you should avoid that. So one of the things we did, actually for Egypt and on their behalf, was to control what was said on the Foreign Department's website when they warned people to go to certain areas. And we alerted the country about this and the tourist attaché. So But you don't want to hurt the country. It's not, I don't think journalists want to do that.
Absolutely. So controlling the messaging, you try to be as accurate as possible, telling that you can go there and you shouldn't go there, really, not that, just
Absolutely.
avoid all the country.
It's it's honesty and credibility. If you say it's safe to go there and the first thing that happens, somebody gets shot, you're not credible any longer.
You
You
sure?
said it was safe, but it's not. So, of course, you have to be very credible, even if it hurts, and it hurts tourism to say, don't go there right now. But you have to do that.
Absolutely. By the way, I have to ask a question now. You told that you have three favorites. Estonia was one of them, New York was the second one. What was the third one, by the way?
Oh, yes. Glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. This is one of my favorites.
Sweden?
Florida Keys and Key West.
Florida, okay.
And why? Well,
Why? Or, okay, we can have some kind of imagination about Florida, but what is your reason?
Florida Keys and Key West, it's those five islands south of Miami. It's close to Miami, but it's still very unknown. And it's very, very different from the rest of the United States and from Florida, different from California, whatever. And it's therefore very exciting. It's a new destination. And it reminds about the Caribbean. It has a taste of the southern states in the United States. It's cool, laid back. It's got something natural to it. It's very marine. They have a sustainability aim. They're family friendly. They have a lot of activities. I could go on for some time because it's really has a lot to offer, and it's fairly unknown, and that's why it's so interesting. And they have a similar setup as New York City, and not as big, of course. But they are also very strategic, very focused, and they have a lot of things to promote. So I would, and we have been working with them as well. That's why I know them very well. And one of the things that is common for all destinations is to have people go there, and especially have journalists to visit, journalists to see what it's all about. Try out the different activities and events and hotels and beaches and whatever. That brings back a lot of publicity and a lot of interest for the destination. Even bloggers, of course.
Absolutely. When you say that the destination is new, how long can a destination keep the let's say, probably not newsworthiness, but how long can a destination can be new for the tourist eyes? Is it about, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years?
You can mention many years because it's all about the news angles that you can come up with. It's a continuity, and I'm coming back to the word continuity because that's one of the most essential words in communication, to do it on and on again and come up with new angles. And there are always a new approach to things, but you need to be creative, you need to be proactive. Look at New York. It has been on the screen for many years, and they've had an upgoing visitor record every year. And I can tell you other stories about, for example, Denmark in Sweden. They have won awards for the best tourism and the best country in, tourism country in Sweden for 17 years. So it's about continuity. It's about creating new aspects and new approaches and being continuous. That's all it takes. Easy, isn't
Yeah, absolutely.
it?
Absolutely. I think that it's easier told than done, But
I think so too.
Especially when you look at all the political games that usually happen behind you, all the kind of situation changing, the world changing, the world security situation changing. So it's a challenging task, really.
It is. It is. But I guess when you come to those events and issues, it could be refugees, it could be war, it could be political aspects, whatever. It comes down to you need to be even better to communicate and to communicate with this in mind or beyond those events. So that's an interesting thing with communication. You have to be on your toes.
Yes, I do absolutely agree.